Hey there, Four States. This is Luke Taylor, and welcome to another edition of the Author's Corner here on KNEO 91.7 FM, The Word. And I'm filling in for Roberta Foster today, but we're going to be speaking with a somewhat local author. His name is Greg Stone, and Greg is the author of the book Pieces of the Puzzle. It's a story where doubt confronts rational belief in this broken world, and this is available from River Birch Press. We'll let you know where people can find the book as we get to the end of the program today. But hey, Greg, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to speak with us.
I'm really glad to be here with you, Luke, and to share about the book and whatever else the Lord puts on our hearts.
Yeah, amen. Well, tell us just a little bit about yourself. Tell us where you're from. So I already kind of said you're somewhat local. It's always a little exciting when I'm calling the author and I get to punch in 417, because that we talk to authors from all over the place. That doesn't happen a lot. But you're a Missouri boy, so tell us a little bit about you and what you do, and then we'll get into talking about the book.
Sure. Yes, I am a native of the Ozarks. I grew up on a farm about 10 miles northwest of Branson, Missouri. I actually live there today, built a house here about 20 years ago. Graduated from Branson High School way back in 1982, so I'm a little bit ancient. I've been involved in youth and young adult ministry for over 35 years with a ministry called Young Life, and then for 15 years, a ministry called Due Loss and Shelterwood, which was a residential program for troubled teens here in Branson and up in Kansas City. And I mentored the mentors, the ones that lived and worked with the teens. But I'm back on Young Life staff, and Young Life is a ministry outreach to adolescents all the way from junior high school, and college. I actually volunteer here in Branson for teenagers with disabilities in a ministry called Capernaum under Young Life. And I supervise Young Life across Missouri. We call it the Gateway Region. And I supervise there in Joplin and Carthage, where we have Young Life, and Ozark and Rogersville, all the way up to Lake of the Ozarks and Jeff City, and right here in Branson, Reed Spring, Galena, in Taney and Stone County, where I live. So I keep pretty busy.
Yeah, yeah. So it sure sounds like it. And yet you found time to write this book also, Pieces of the Puzzle. And so tell us what this book's all about.
Yeah, you know, this is a book that's been on my heart for a while. I've really had an interest in apologetics, which is the defense of the Christian faith and understanding why we believe. And this book kind of came to me as I've read lots of textbook-like books on apologetics, defending the faith. There's some great ones out there, Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel, and others. But I thought, wouldn't it be neat to write a story apologetic, an apologetic in story form, and specifically towards young adults that are struggling in their faith? I have found former students in our Due Loss program and a few Young Life former kids and leaders that I've been keeping in touch with that are struggling with their faith today. And there's a lot of things going on in our culture and in the world, and the COVID crisis, and just a lot of things that have young adults confused. You know, why would a good God allow all this to happen? So Pieces of the Puzzle is a story about a young man growing up in the Ozarks that is struggling to believe in God because his wife's battling cancer. His home life was not great. His parents were one way at church and another way at home. Just a lot of things going on in his life where he's like, I don't know if I can believe in a God because this world is really messed up. He's got a grandmother who was a very strong influence in his life, spiritual influence, who is in a nursing home in the area. And one day when he visits her, he meets this older gentleman that is working on a puzzle. And the two meet. And the older gentleman is a black man, which Wyatt, the young man in the story written in first person, is not used to seeing black men in the area where he grew up, and it intrigued him. They strike up a friendship, and in the course of the conversation, the older black man asks Wyatt about his relationship with God. How is it? And he says, well, I'm not sure I believe. And Marcus, the older man, says, well, why? And he said, well, just a lot of things that's going on in my life. It just doesn't make sense why there'd be a loving God with all this going on. And the older man kind of looks at him, and he picks up the piece of the puzzle, and he says, son, I do believe, and it's kind of like this puzzle why I believe. There's different reasons. And if you put all the pieces together, this puzzle, it forms a picture that I'm working on. And the reasons why I believe, you put it all together, it forms a picture of why I believe. And if you'll come see me every time you visit your grandmother, I'll share a piece of that puzzle. And so that's what this story is about, the different pieces of the puzzle. And then you also get to know these characters and the broken pieces in their life and how God, in the midst of that, was able to bring restoration in both their lives. And in their friendship that develops, Marcus becomes a big influence on Wyatt. And but it's a struggle, and we kind of follow the story.
Well, I was kind of wondering why you chose to write this as a narrative, because that's kind of unique when it comes to apologetics books, and a lot of times they can just be fire hoses of information. But I think what you've kind of done here is you've taken a lot of apologetic truths and putting them in a story format kind of makes them a little bit more relatable to people, maybe a little bit more practical, because they can, the situations that this character is facing in the book, you know, with like you talked about his grandmother and the rough home life and all this kind of stuff. I mean, these are situations that people really deal with in their own lives, and a lot of people can relate to these type of things. And so is that why the narrative format that allows you to explore those things in a little bit more practical way?
Well, yeah. And just as I studied the Gospels and the life of Jesus and his example, and I always like to put everything in life, everything I do in life, I like to put it through that filter of the example of Jesus. And if you look at his life, he spent a lot of time telling stories and parables and illustrations to get his point across. It was an oral tradition back then, and that was one of the reasons it helped people remember. But I think it also, in the genius of our God, Jesus told truths in a story where that people could relate to, and it connected in the mind, but also down into the heart. And so that was kind of the ideas that I want people to understand, that there's reasonable reason to believe in God, and specifically the God of Christianity, in a way they can relate to, in the midst of not glossing over that this is a broken world, that it is hard. But in the midst of that, there's amazing truth and amazing hope. And I felt a story format would bring that about much better than in a textbook format, although I like the textbooks too.
Mm-hmm.
I just think both are necessary.
Something else I thought was kind of unique about this book is the setting, because, you know, as we talked about earlier, we're all Missourians here, and this is set right in the Ozarks. And so you just don't see a whole lot of, you know, movies, books, all that kind of stuff. You don't see a lot of them set in Missouri. And so that, I think that also, you just talked a little bit about why you wanted to set it here, where you're familiar with.
Well, yeah, it's where I grew up, where I live now. I'm on the land that, my great, great grandfather, first, purchased many, many, many years ago. And, there's just a rich history here and a beauty of the view from my back deck. There's an amazing view of the Ozark Hills. And so, I just love that setting, and that, and it's familiar to me. And like you said, there's not a lot of books. I think Shepherd of the Hills is a classic, but that was written over, you know, 100 years ago. I just thought it'd be kind of neat to have it be in this area. I did create a fictional town called Berkeley, which is near Forsyth in Taney County. And the characters are all fictitious names, but it's also very autobiographical. The struggles of Wyatt are struggles. Some of the struggles I've had, I've dealt with tragedy and brokenness in my own life. In one of my sons who's had some really tough things in his past that he's overcome. And in a lot of the young people and young adults I've worked with and their questions and their struggles. To have it set in the area I grew up in was kind of fun. It was kind of fun to put that in there some of the things that little things I put in. I've got a brother that's read the book. He goes, I know what you're talking about there. I remember that in our own life, something about the crisscross on the peanut butter cookies. That's something my mom did. And that's in the book.
Well, yeah, that's kind of neat, because, and I'll say this too, for people who, we have people listening from all over through the internet, and we put this on podcast. And so if anyone listening is maybe they haven't been to Missouri before, they don't know what the Ozarks are all about, this book can give them a little bit of that slice of life. And again, It's called Pieces of the Puzzle, a story where doubt confronts rational belief in this broken world. And it's by Greg Stone. That's who we're talking to today. He's talking to us from over there near Branson, Missouri. And so we enjoyed this talk so far. But hey, Greg, when it comes to apologetics works, I'll tell you just a little bit personal thing here. I really get into apologetics, and I found that some Christians are just, they really don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. They think whenever you go exploring some of these tricky or deep questions of the faith, they say it's, you know, it's dangerous, that we're not, I've heard them say to me before, we're not supposed to know the answers. We're just supposed to have faith. And so when you hear that from people, what is it that you say to them?
Well, I say that we're supposed to have faith, but it's reasonable faith. And God's given us minds. We're supposed to worship God not only with our hearts, but also our minds. And it's okay to ask questions, too. If you look at examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah questions and complained to God and wondered why things were. David complained and asked questions. God's a big God. He wants us to know him. It needs to be a real relationship. And we should bring our doubts and questions. We should not be afraid of asking the tough questions. And when you really get into it, and when you study not only how the Bible was put together and the historical evidence for the resurrection, but if you look at the universe, you know, we had the eclipse yesterday, the marvels of the universe and the design of the universe and the fact that the universe had a beginning. And then something I've loved to study is the amazing complexity of the inner universe in each of us and the human cell, DNA, and so forth and so on. All of these things scream a designer. They scream beauty. They scream of something beyond us. And the more I've studied it, the deeper it's rooted my faith in Christ. And so I think apologetics is a great study. I mean, and there's a lot of areas in it, and I try to touch on as many as I can in this book from all my years of study, but I probably scratched the surface.
Hmm. Well, I totally agree with you there about sometimes when you dig into these, explore our doubts, if that's how you want to phrase it. But when we explore these questions, I always come out of it with a stronger faith, you know, when it's all said and done, because I've gotten those questions answered. And, you know, I think there are answers out there to a lot of these questions if people will look and study hard enough. I also love what you said there. It's true. If when people read the Bible, if they're really paying attention, people like Jeremiah, Habakkuk, some of these prophets who had that privilege of really direct conversation with God, they had questions for God, and they would ask him questions, and they didn't always get an answer, but you know, they had questions too. And I think it's okay to be honest about that.
Absolutely. I think honesty before God is one of the great things. A third of the Psalms are laments or complaints to God. We're not supposed to complain and then just leave it there. We complain, but then we remember that God is a good God, and we remember where he has helped us in our past where we struggle. But we got to be honest with him. We got to be real with him. He wants us to be that. And I think apologetics is a way of being honest. I will say one of the pieces of my puzzle that as I've gotten older is learning to embrace the mystery that I don't have to have it all figured out, because we're talking about a God that has no beginning, no end, is outside of space and time. So am I going to understand him completely? One of my thoughts of heaven and living forever and ever in the new heaven and the new earth is I'm never going to know God completely because he's God. But the joy of eternity is knowing him more and more and in a deeper and deeper way and in a deeper and deeper love. And that will not have an end point. That will go on and on. Embracing the mystery is one of the pieces of the puzzle. But I think God wants us to learn and to seek with our minds as well as our hearts.
Well, apologetics, you know, it's kind of a broad topic there. I mean, sometimes you have books on scientific apologetics, and there's philosophical apologetics, and some go into the historical, you know, talking about the historical facts of Jesus and the resurrection. And yeah. Is there a focus area of this book?
Well, all of the above. I think if anybody that's done puzzles, the best way to start in a puzzle is the border pieces and the corner pieces and the border pieces. And some of the earlier chapters deal with what I call the corner pieces of why Marcus believed in God. And that was the idea of design, the idea of the moral law. Why is there right and wrong? Where did that come from? The idea of beauty. Where does beauty come from? And things like that are kind of the border pieces. And the inner pieces that get to the real picture, I get to the Bible, and then specifically the person of Jesus, God incarnate, and then the evidence for the resurrection. That to me is the center of the piece of the puzzle. So it's all the above. It's archaeology that has confirmed evidence for the Bible. It's the prophecies in the Bible that have come true, and the study of prophecy is very unique to Christianity as well. Mm. So all the above.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. And so just before we go also, are there any specific questions or topics that people will discover as they read this book? You know, maybe a question that's been in the back of some people's minds that this book will explore.
I tried as best I could probably to explore the most difficult question in people struggling to believe in God. And it's, why does God allow suffering? Mm. And I deal with that head on. It's kind of sprinkled into some of the chapters as you get to know why, as you get to know Marcus and some of the pain in his life. And so I think I tried and I prayerfully dealt with that question of why God would allow such suffering in this world, a good God, why would he would allow that. Mm-hmm. And I deal with that, and they talk about that. And I'm hoping that will bring maybe some clarity and hope in the midst of some readers that might read this that are really brokenhearted themselves or angry with God. Mm-hmm. And honestly, a lot of the people that I've known that say they don't believe in God, I really believe in my heart. It's not that they don't believe in God from an intellectual way. It's that they're mad at God because their heart's been hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to have total compassion towards those people, just as Marcus in the book has total compassion with Wyatt and his hurt and his struggle.
Mm. Well, that's one thing that I got as I read the prologue, and you know, it's been such a busy few weeks here for me lately. I didn't have time to read a whole lot of the book, but I will say, I mean, the prologue just it really draws the reader in. And I thought you were a very good writer, Greg. And the way
thank you, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I could tell it was. It's a very well.
My wife's a good editor. I'll just say that.
Well, yeah, then appreciate her too. But I do think you have a real special book here, and just the prologue there, as it talked about that question of he's struggling, sitting there thinking about how his wife's inside suffering with the cancer, and he's doubting that God is real because. Like you said, why would a good God allow such suffering? And that's something that comes up in a lot of people's lives. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not hard for them to deal with because when you're younger, suffering is so abstract. You know, other people are dealing with cancer, starving children in Africa. But all of us come to a point in our life where we go through some kind of trial or something that's really hard. And that's when those questions can start coming up for people. And so I think this book, you know, It's something that just like we said before, it takes that question, but it makes it very relatable and walks through somebody working through that whole process and wrestling with those questions. And I hope it will bring a lot of clarity and, you know, hopefully will lead people closer to God through reading this book.
Yeah, that's my prayer, too.
Well,
absolutely.
Before we go today, are there any other books that you've written?
This is my second book. My first book is called The Yellow Cap, which is a very interesting title, but it's a true story about a young man in Branson that I had developed a friendship with and reached out to him through the Ministry of Young Life way back in the late 80s. Sadly, at the age of 16, he was in a car accident that left him in a coma vegetative state for the next 9 years.
Mm.
And I really had a struggle relating back to the pieces of the puzzle, why God would allow that to happen. He was a kid that was not super popular, had just him and his mom. His mom was a single mom, worked two jobs to help take care of him. Over the course of those 9 years, I kept visiting him in the hospital and with his mom. He ended up in Mount Vernon at a veterans hospital. And this book, actually, I'm trying to answer the question why God would allow him to be in that state for 9 years and what might have happened during those 9 years. So there's a little bit of Christian fantasy in this book. It's based on a true story, inspired by the true story of Jason Crump. But in this story, he wakes up in another place, and he meets an angel named Ambrose. And Ambrose and him have lots of conversations. They go on walks in this beautiful place. It's a mysterious place. Here, I'm not talking theology here. It's me trying to deal with what might have happened during those 9 years. And he sometimes wakes up back in the hospital because, true story, he did wake up and sometimes could communicate with eye blinks when the synapses were firing in his brain. And then he would go out for a long time. So I go back and forth between the reality of being in the hospital bed. I get to know in this book his mom a little bit better, Lynette, who I became really close with. And then from my perspective, as his youth leader, my struggle with the question of what was going on with him and why God allowed it. Mm-hmm. And I get to, it was kind of fun. I got to deal with a lot of Jason in this other world with this angel asking the tough questions, and he was bullied and why was he bullied? And he gets to meet Jesus, which was kind of scary for me to have Jesus meet him, but Jesus, takes him in a boat, in a canoe, rowing across this beautiful lake and has a conversation with him. So it's a fantasy story, but based on a true story. And, it's something I'd wanted to write for a long time because I just had a real close relationship with Jason, and it was real heartbreaking for him to go through what he went through. And how it ends, I'm not going to say, but, it ends with hope. I'll just put it that way.
Well, it sounds like a lot of your ministry, or what you like to do, at least as far as the writing is concerned, but you're trying to remove those barriers that people might have between them and God, and answer some of these questions and help people work through some of these struggles and when they just don't know why things.
Yeah, and it relates to all my 35 years of ministering to young adults and teenagers and the reality of their struggles and seeing how that, in some ways, has changed over the years, and in some ways, it's very much the same. It still deals with the identity questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? And where do I belong? And how do I belong? Those are fundamental questions that haven't changed. What has changed is there's a lot more distractions and a lot more pressures. I remember when I was in high school, it was pretty simple. If I was bullied at school, I could escape it and go home. Teenagers today, because of smartphone technology and the internet, they can be bullied at all hours. There's just a lot more anxiety and a lot more pressure. It's just different.
Yeah.
But the fundamental issues of who am I? Why am I here? Is there a God? Does he really care about me? In this brokenness that I'm feeling and this loneliness that I'm feeling, that's still there.
Well, again, the book is called Pieces of the Puzzle. It's by Greg Stone, and it's a story where doubt confronts rational belief in this broken world. That's what we've been talking about today. It's from River Birch Press. And hey, Greg, before we go, where would you send people if they want to find out more about this book?
Well, it's on Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com and look it up there. And I'll give my email address if you want more information about it. I do have some copies still that I could send a signed copy, which maybe worth another penny. I don't know. Probably not. may decrease the value. But my email address is real simple. It's gstone0429, and that's my birthday, April 29th, at gmail.com. gstone0429@gmail.com. And you can just send me an email that you're interested in the book, and I can get you more information and how much it is and all of that. But you can also just get it through Amazon. You could get an electronic copy if you've got a Kindle. That's available on Amazon as well.
All right. Well, once again, the book, it's Pieces of the Puzzle, and it's by Greg Stone, who we've been speaking to today. If you missed any part of today's interview, don't forget, you can go back. We offer this program on our website, and we offer this as a podcast. And so you can share it with somebody if you think there's someone who needs to hear this message or hear about this book, Pieces of the Puzzle. And hey, Greg, thanks so much for being with us today on the Author's Corner.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you, Luke.